Amen. Good morning, church family. Grateful to see all of you here. And, you know, as we sing those worship songs, those aren't just words. Those are truths being sung over us to remind us that the end is coming. And I think just on a whim, it's probably closer than we think. And so when I think about the end coming and Jesus coming back and returning for his church, I think about my current fellowship with the Lord. And what type of man should I be when I enter into his presence? Yes, have I given my life to Jesus? Absolutely. But right now, in this life, how am I living? You know, Pastor spoke about this last week, our conduct as Christians. And I believe the Lord has led us to a similar passage this morning to talk about our conduct and how we hinder our fellowship with the Lord. Because I know, if anybody says it, I know that I don't want to be, just like it says here in Isaiah 59, verse 2, it says this, it says, "But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. And your sins has hidden his face from you so that he does not hear you." Brothers and sisters, in the years that I have left, I want to get closer to God. Not just a superficial worship, but I want to be so close that I can feel his breath on my cheek. I want to be so close that when he whispers, my ears tune to his voice. I don't want just a casual Christian relationship. I want a relationship with true fellowship with my God. And so, if you can, turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 7. We're going to talk about Mark chapter 7, verses 14 through 23, hindrances to our fellowship with God. And as I was studying for that passage of Scripture, I was also thinking about the study that we do at the Hope Center. And during that study, I'm always asking the Lord, like, "Lord, what do we need to do next? What study do we need to go through next? What helps prepare the men for the next season of their life? How do we allow the Bible to be the guideline for these men?" And so the Lord led me to anger. Anger. You know, wherever you go in this society, you will see people who are consistently angry. Angry about something. "You put too much mustard on my hamburger." Angry. "You pulled too close to my car." Angry. "You came in too late." Angry. And you get around people and it's just, and I mean, just everywhere. It doesn't matter where you are, if you're in school, church, it's just people that are just getting angry at the smallest things. And when I look out, the only thing I can say, "Lord, our time is coming near." And so as I was teaching this series, like 4-week series on anger, and we're just walking through biblical anger and what that looks like, the men were just tuned in. Matter of fact, we got a picture of that. They were just tuned in. They were taking notes. They were like, "Man, this is incredible. I never knew that this anger could be like this and just control you and take over you." But we started looking at the text, this particular text in Mark 7, and I really didn't understand the totality of the text until I really started reading it. And so we did a demonstration, and I didn't bring the demonstration today because I didn't want to mess up the pulpit, all right? But I got two separate cups. One cup had a white substance in it, kind of fluffy. The other cup, same thing, kind of fluffy, white substance in it. And I had a jar just like this with a liquid in the inside. And when I started, I said, "You know what, this cup represents a heart that has been transformed by the power of Christ." And I poured that liquid into that cup. And it kind of poof, just did a little something. It didn't do much. And I said, this is a heart that has been transformed by the power of Christ. But this other cup is something different. And as I proceeded to pour the liquid into that particular cup, it just erupted. I mean, it just exploded like a, you know, combustion. I mean, it was just stuff everywhere. And I was like, oh, Lord, you know, because I didn't want to bring it this morning because I was like, I don't know what I'll do if I mess up the carpet up here. And so when I poured it in there, and it just exploded. And this is what the Lord really showed me in that. He says, people are angry, not because of the words that are said to them, but it's what's already in their hearts. You can pour the same liquid, say the same words to two different people, and it will have two different effects. If my heart is angry, it doesn't matter what you say. If you pour it in there, it's just going to explode. Why'd you say that to me? What did you mean by that? I mean, it's just constant struggle within a person because it's not what you say. It is in that heart, all tucked away. And it doesn't surface until somebody says something. And the next thing you know, you are out of fellowship with them, but probably more importantly, out of fellowship with God. Now, does that mean that you become a non-believer if you're a believer? No, it does not mean that. It's almost like this. It's like God in his divine power is looking down on us and he's saying, you didn't have to do that. I love you. I didn't create you like that. Why this anger? Why these things are coming out? And so I started thinking about that. And I said, Lord, help me with this. Take me to a passage of scripture to help me understand this a little bit more. And so in Mark chapter 7, verses 14 through 23, I want to show you what this reads. Now watch this. This is the good part about it. As you're turning in your Bible, I know the Lord is already stirring in somebody's heart in here. Already. No pointing fingers. No hitting on the thigh. You'd be like this. Pastor, you talking right to him? We're all guilty at the foot of the cross. All guilty. And inside your heart dwell some of the most wicked things. And unless we all submit and subject ourselves to the power of the Holy Spirit, we are capable of doing some evil and wicked things. And so this is what the scripture says. This is Jesus talking. After he had called the crowd to him again, he began saying to them, listen to me, all of you, and understand. There's nothing outside the man which can defile him if it goes into him. But the things which proceed out of the man are what defile the man. Listen to what Jesus says here. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. When Jesus says this, now listen, you can see this particular phrase in a couple of parts in the New Testament, but you also see this in the book of Revelation he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. And so you see this in multiple parts of scripture. And what this is saying, Jesus is saying, listen up, believers, listen. He says, when he had left the crowd and entered into the house, his disciples questioned him about the parable. And he said to them, are you so lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that whatever goes into the man from the outside cannot defile him, because it does not go into his heart, but into his stomach and is eliminated? Thus he declared all foods clean. And he was saying, that which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart, look at that, out of the heart of men proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. Now listen. I said, Lord, I understand what verse 23 means. I mean, you're looking at that verse and you see all those things up there and you're saying, okay, I understand that part of it. But Lord, I need some clarity on what this actually means for a person to be defiled. And when it says, he who has ears, let him hear, what does that actually mean? And what does it actually mean when it says, you know, that which proceeds out of a man? And I had to really kind of seek the Lord in prayer. And this guides us to our main truth for this morning. And if I could encapsulate this verse in one specific sentence, this is what it says. When the hidden issues of the heart are exposed through external pressures, trials, and life challenges, the resulting actions often disrupt fellowship with others, and more importantly, hinder one's fellowship with God. When the hidden issues of the heart are exposed, that's this external pressures, trials, life challenges, the stuff that's really in you is really going to come out. And so as a believer, I want to understand this more. I want to seek the scriptures to understand what Jesus is saying more. And so I had to kind of walk through the text and make sure I had proper context first. And so when you look at this passage of scripture in chapter 7, first you need to go back to chapter 6 and read about Jesus as he's performing miracles. You see, there was first Jesus was feeding the 5,000 with two fish and five loaves of bread. And so you see that miracle happen. And then from there, as he feeds the 5,000, he sends the disciples away on the boat. And as they're in the boat on the seas, and the seas get stormy, and Jesus actually walks on water out to the boat. And so you see that miracle also in chapter 6. And then as it comes down a little farther, it says that Jesus finally hits the land. And as he hits the land, a multitude of people come around him and they're asking for healings and blessings. And Jesus is healing hundreds and hundreds of people. And so I can imagine at that point he was exhausted. But his guard wasn't down. You see, at that moment, that's when chapter 7 picks up. And as Jesus and his disciples are eating some bread, the Pharisees and the scribes come by in chapter 7, and they said, what are you doing eating with unclean hands? What are you doing? You know, this goes against the traditions of the elders or all these different things. He says, so what are you doing eating with unclean hands? And they share this, but Jesus doesn't miss a beat. He never does. Jesus in verse 6, he says this, and Jesus said to them, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites as it is written. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. Okay, let me explain that just very quick. There is a document, and it's called the Mishnah. And the Mishnah is really oral traditions that have gone on through the years that the Orthodox Judaism, they have kind of accepted these oral traditions. And what these are their explanations for each law, okay? And so what happened was the Pharisees and the scribes, what they started doing, they started creating these laws, and they're saying, hey, yes, we honor God, but you need to do this, 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 and this to please God. And Jesus says, that's not the way it works. He says, that's not the way it works. He says, what you're doing, he says, you're so focused on this stuff on the bottom, you are forgetting the primary relationship with your God. And so what they would do is, as they would look in the Mishnah, and before I would eat bread, I had to get a pitcher of water in my hand, and I had to dip it 3 times on this hand to make sure that hand was clean, and I dipped it this hand and made sure that was clean, and then after I did that, I put my hands in the air, and I would recite this blessing. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, or they would say Elohim, of King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us on the washing of hands. Listen, this is why Jesus says this. These people honor me with their lips. They're coming in every day. They're washing their hands with uplifted hands, and they're saying all these beautiful things. But Jesus is like, I don't even know what you're doing. Are you kidding me? You're putting this above your worship for God? Jesus said, you hypocrites. And so, and when I look at this passage of scripture, these people, I mean, I can probably imagine they wanted to make sure they did right, and they wanted to make sure they kept all the laws, but your spiritual connection and your fellowship with God is more important than keeping the laws. Listen now, that's what Jesus says. He says this, he says, this superficial display of honoring toward God, he says, I don't even see it. He says, this placing of traditions above the commandments of God in verse 7 and 8, I don't even recognize that. But then he also says this, he highlights the main area that we're going to talk about today. He says this, he said, what defiles a man? In verses 14 through 16. That's the question Jesus is posing. What is really defiling a man? And so, hey, I'm not too smart. I tell my kids all the time, I had 15 years of public education, the best public education in my life. And I was like, Lord, I need to understand what this actually means. And so this definition of defilement, it is a condition of spiritual or ceremonial uncleanliness that prevents a person from partaking of holy things or entering into God's presence. Oh, this is so good. Jesus is saying, you're more concerned about defiling the outside, but the inside is already defiled. The defilement that Jesus is talking about, he's saying, these things are hindering you from getting closer and closer fellowship to your God. And then he goes off to start naming what those things are. Are you ready to name what those things are that's keeping you from getting close to your God? Now, before I jump into the list, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about the times where you have, and I'm not saying every time, but sometimes God, you will ask and God just says, hey, wait, and he doesn't give an answer. But just to be honest with all of us, there are times in your life when you know you are purposely walking in sin. And you pray and you seek God, but it is like you are getting nothing. I can sit in a service like this and I can see people with raised hands and they're worshiping God, but man, there is no way, not what after I did last night, that I can do the same thing. My actions are hindering, it's hindering my fellowship with the Almighty and Holy God. Look at what Jesus says here. He says this. He says, listen, from within and out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. When I say evil thoughts, and I made sure on your note sheet, you shouldn't see any blanks, because I don't want you to take any notes right here. I want you to make sure you get everything that we're saying, because evil thoughts, they are deliberately thinking of plans or imagining plans to harm or wrong someone. Thinking, how do I wrong you? What can I take away from you that's going to really, really hurt you? Maybe some of you in here, you've had some past relationships. I mean, they were super close. They were tight. I mean, like, you know, I mean, they're like JJ and Michael tight. I mean, it was like super tight. And you just, you were like, man, we are friends to the end, you know. And they hurt you. And you're thinking about, how do I get that person back? How do I repay them? How can I hurt them as much as they hurt me? Second, fornications, sexual behavior outside of God's design for marriage. And so you're looking at this and you're doing things with other people that are not your spouse, and God is like, listen, I don't like that. Not only do I don't like it, it is against my holy will. And it will keep me out of right relationship and fellowship with my God. Third, theft, taking what does not belong to you. Murders, unjustly taking human life. Not only that, in addition to that, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, harboring deep-seated anger. That anger that turns into bitterness for others. Things that you just cannot let go. And it's almost like, you know, you come to church and you hear the messages and you're like, man, that's a great message. And I really need to let some things go. And as soon as you try to let them go, the enemy starts reminding you, no, you can't let that go, because if you let that go, that person's going to do it again. And so you grab it again and you put it back in your heart. And Jesus says, that is not the way we are supposed to live. Not only murders, adulteries, unfaithful in marriage through sexual sin. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus also talks about, if you even look at a woman lustfully, women the same thing for men. If you even look at a person lustfully, you've already committed adultery in your heart. Deeds of coveting, craving what belongs to someone else, deceit, dishonesty, trickery, or hiding the truth. Well, I'm not going to lie, I'm just not going to tell them the whole thing. You know, I'm just going to tell them just a little bit. Sensuality, lack of restraint in lustful or shameful behavior, envy, resentment over another person's blessing or success, slander, speaking evil about others to damage their reputation. Do y'all hear me, church? This list is not a to-do list. This is a list for God telling us, these are the things that will take us out of fellowship with one another. Why? Because this is not characteristics of your new life in Christ. You are no longer that old person. You are a new person in Christ. Now, does that mean you're going to automatically, once you get saved, that just automatically everything just automatically goes? I wish that was the case. As soon as I got saved, all that stuff, you know, just dropped right off of me. It didn't happen like that. But what I'm going to tell you that happened was that the blood of Jesus gave me freedom to walk away from sin. Amen? Listen to what else it says here. Envy, slander, pride, arrogance, or thinking too highly of oneself, foolishness, ignoring God's wisdom. All of these things, after doing this study, I was thinking to myself, I say, Lord, what else is in my heart? What else is in my heart that needs to come out, that needs to be taken care of? And I'm sure this list is not exhaustive. I was thinking about some other stuff, unforgiveness that tags on to a lot of these sins in here. And I'm thinking like, Lord, help me to cleanse my heart. That's why David said in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, renew in me a right spirit. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with your free spirit. David knew that inside of his heart were some things that should not have been there, that was separating him from his God and fellowship. And he needed to make sure those things were right before God. So, my brothers and sisters, what's the solution? Here it is. The solution to close and unhindered fellowship with God is first this. You must be born again. Amen. You must be born again. And when I talk about being born again, it's not just trying to do life better, saying, I'm going to put this down tomorrow and I'm going to pick this up tomorrow. I'm going to stop looking at this tomorrow and I'm going to start looking at this. It is not a behavioral modification. It is surrender before a holy God and saying, God, I cannot do this. I realize through the power of the Holy Spirit that this is wrong and it is breaking fellowship with you and I. And God, I love you so, so much. And I don't want to live like this. I want my life to be different. You are coming before God. And you are falling on your knees before a holy God and asking for his strength. Help you to make it through, to walk away from evil and walk in the goodness of God. You must be born again. The second thing, not only must I be born again, but I also need to ensure that I'm listening attentively to what God is saying. I'm listening attentively to what God is saying. Now, the reason that I put this here is I must be born again, but as Christians, what I've realized, all of us are not reading our Bibles. And we are capturing things from outside sources and that are not biblical or scriptural or do not even line up with God's word. And so we need to get into a place with a regular Bible reading, study, meditation of the word, and I'm allowing the Lord to speak to me on a daily basis. I'm finding out, God, what do you say about this? God, what is your plan for this? Lord, how do you desire for my family to live? And I'm taking all these things and I am making sure that I'm applying them to my heart. And so listen to this. Write this particular passage of scripture down. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 through 3. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 through 3. Listen to this. I love this verse. He says this, come all you who are thirsty. Listen to the invitation here. Come all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters and you who have no money, come buy and eat. He says, listen, don't even worry about what you're wearing. Don't worry about bringing no money. He said, just come. It's free. It's a buffet. You'll get whatever you want here. He says this. Listen. He says, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Why? Listen to the question. Why spend money on what is not bread? Do you know what that means? He says, why are you spending time on stuff that doesn't even matter? Provide you no nourishment, no fulfillment, no anything. Why are you spending your time and your efforts on things that will bring you no success in Christ? He says, and your labor on what does not satisfy. He says, listen to me. Eat what is good, and you will delight in the riches of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you will live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promise to David. He's saying this word to David, but for all who are believers, the same thing applies. He says, come, eat. In just a moment, we're going to give an invitation. And that same invitation is there in Isaiah 55. It will be extended to all of you. If you are struggling with something in your life and you just can't seem to let it go, I want to tell you, come, eat. You that are thirsty, come. Lay your problems on the altar. God is like, I've been waiting on you. Do you realize that everything that has been done today has been done for you? If you don't know Jesus in the pardon of your sins, today is the day. Come to Jesus. Give him your life. You were created for a relationship with the Savior. It's the invitation. But listen to what else he says. As we're listening, as we must be born again, we're listening attentively, but as a believer, I'm also conducting an honest evaluation of my own heart. I've got to tell you, as I read through those verses, specifically verse 23, as a pastor, I said, that's in my heart, that's in my heart, that's in my heart. And God, I need a cleansing through the power of the Holy Spirit. And church, I've got to believe. I know I'm not the most perfect person, but I know that people in this room are struggling with some things, and you've got to get to the point where you realize, hey, I'm examining my heart, and I realize there are some things that are there that should not be there as a believer. Must be born again. I'm listening attentively. I'm conducting an honest examination of my heart. Listen to this. Write this verse down. Lamentations 3:40. Lamentations 3:40. Listen to what this says. It says, let us examine and probe our ways, and let us return to the Lord. Oh, that's so beautiful. Let us examine and probe our ways, and let us, all of us, inclusive, all of us, return to the Lord. Born again, listening attentively, conducting an honest evaluation of my heart. But then I want to, the things that I see in my heart, I want to make sure I filter those through God's word. The reason that needs to happen is because sometimes we've been doing things so long, we think that it's already biblical. You have made up in your mind that these things are right because I've seen mama doing them, I've seen grandma doing them, I've seen my friends doing them, everyone around me are doing these things. So I'm assuming, even though it's coming up in my heart, I'm already justifying the sin because I've been living in it so long. And so I take those things I now found in my heart, and I now place them against the word of God. And I said, God, what in this is not right? And through the power of his Holy Spirit, he shows me. This needs to change. This needs to go away. That person needs to be let go. This needs to happen. And so God places it right there so that I'm able to walk in a way that pleases and honors him. After I filter those things through God's word, I'm confessing my sins before the Lord. I'm confessing my sins before the Lord. He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper. He who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. That's Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. Confess your sins before the Lord Jesus. Give your life to him. And then the last thing is respond with genuine repentance as led by the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know what that takes for you. For every person in the room, that could be different. But brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, you need to respond with genuine repentance. Repentance is just not saying, Lord, I'm sorry. But I am turning away from sin, and I'm walking in a path that pleases God according to the scriptures. Does that make sense, church? So at this moment, our praise team is going to come. And this is the question. Listen. We're going to give an invitation. And if God is calling you to take something and drop them, leave them at his feet, today is the day. Just between you and your God. If you have not given your life to Jesus, today is the day. Call upon the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. If you're here today and you are a believer and you've been rooted and grounded, but you said, Pastor Ken, after you start talking, man, everything in my heart started surfacing, this stuff that's been in my heart for years, and I've just not recognized it. And you recognize it, because soon as somebody pours something on it, it's like, phew. Soon as some TV show comes on, phew, lust start coming out. Soon as somebody says something about, the way you look, your identity, something just starts coming out. It's not the words. It's not the shows. It's not anything. It's what's going on in your heart that needs to be cleansed. Listen, what is hindering you from your fellowship with God? What's stopping up the portal? I won't say a portal because I don't want to make it sound too spiritual. What's stopping up? What's stopping God from having really close, tight fellowship with you as a believer? I want to invite you today, just like this is poured out, in the bad parts of your heart, pour yourself out on the altar of God and say, God, I'm done trying to do it myself, trying to create my own ways, trying to figure this thing out on my own, thinking that I'm going to get better as time goes on, and you don't. It gets worse. But the good news is you can submit all your problems to Jesus. He hears you when you call, but you've got to be ready to lay them down. Father, we thank you so much for today. Father, where there are people in the room or people at home, God, I know people are dealing with things in their hearts, things that are resurfacing day after day. Sometimes it's just one thing, but Lord, there are things in our heart that just resurface day after day, and God, we need a heart transplant. We need our heart to be cleansed through the power of the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, I pray today, whether that's anger, lust, jealousy, any of those things we just mentioned, I pray that people right now, right where they are, in their seats, they will get up, come to the altar, lay those things before you. I pray that people, if they're at home watching, I pray that they will instantly get on their knees and say, God, forgive me. I repent of my sins, and I turn away from everything that displeases you. I pray that will be the cry of every believer here. This is not behavioral modification. This is allowing the Lord to do a work in all of our hearts. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If everyone in here could just stand, and as the Lord leads, come, give your heart to Jesus, repent of your sins, and stand in close fellowship with your God.